Welcome one, welcome all to Bridging the Gap, an audio series featuring conversations with super interesting people from all walks of life who share one thing in common, the love of great music. Bridging the Gap is brought to you as a part of Chicago A Cappella's 2020-2021 season. I'm your host, Emily Price, sitting in again for Catherine Camp. And today's guest is Christopher Bell. For those of us in Chicago, we may know Christopher Bell as the chorus director of the Grant Park Chorus since 2002. In a career spanning 30 years thus far, Christopher has also been the chorus master of the Edinburgh Royal Choral Union, the Royal Scottish National Orchestra Chorus, the Belfast Philharmonic Choir, the Edinburgh Festival Chorus, and the Washington Chorus. Largely responsible for the formation of the National Youth Choir of Scotland in 1996, he has been its artistic director ever since. The National Youth Choir of Scotland has toured to many countries, won a prestigious Royal Philharmonic Society Award, and performed at the BBC Proms and the Edinburgh International Festival to great acclaim. Born in Belfast, Bell was educated at Edinburgh University and held his first post as associate conductor of the BBC Scottish Symphony. Since then, he has worked with many of the major orchestras in the UK and Ireland, including the Royal Philharmonic, London Philharmonic, Royal Scottish National, and the BBC Scottish Symphony. In 2012, Bell was awarded an honorary doctorate in music from the Royal Conservatoire in Scotland, in recognition of his contribution to performing arts in Scotland. And in 2015, he was awarded an honorary doctor of music from the University of Aberdeen. This summer will be Christopher's 20th season with the Grant Park Chorus, and I'm sure many listeners will be just as excited as I am to see his vibrant energy, not to mention his sparkly outfits, once again on stage at Millennium Park. One of my favorite conductors to sing for. I am thrilled to have him joining us today. Christopher, welcome to Bridging the Gap.
Thank you. When you're reading that biography, of course, it sounds like a medical record. And of course, you know, it's like, do you know these things? And I'm listening to it thinking, wow, did I really do that? Have I really done that? But I mean, it's been a life in music and 20 years in Chicago. And I'm telling you, please, 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 I cannot wait to get back to Chicago to my wonderful Grant Park Singers. Oh, and to see your face.
I know. We are so excited. I can't even tell you how excited I am to have you back here and for us all to be together singing again in Millennium Park. It's going to be very exciting, very triumphant. Where are you joining us from right now?
I am currently in Edinburgh, Scotland.
And you've been there for the past year, yeah?
I have. So I started lockdown in Washington, D.C., and I nearly got on a plane on about the, 23rd or 24th of March, 2020. I nearly got on a plane. And when I woke up that morning, I just couldn't do it. I came down to breakfast with the people I lived with and I said, can't go. If I go home, I will be in lockdown in my house on my own. I won't see people for weeks. I will go mad. Please, can I stay here? And they said, yes, I really want you to stay here. So I stayed in D.C. till the 19th of May, flew home on the 19th, and I've been here in my own house, apart from a couple of trips to help my mother move house. I've actually had almost a whole year sleeping in my own bed, which is just weird. Weird.
Musicians are not used to that, being in the same place for the same time for so long.
No, I'm not, I hate to tell you, but this year when I file my accounts, I may not make the threshold to pay tax. Oh, my Lord.
What an interesting time. It's just been, unbelievable.
Weird.
I wanted to, I shared some of all the wonderful things that you've done in your career thus far, but I wanted to go back a little farther. And I'm interested to know what role music played in your family and your community when you were growing up.
Well, Mum played the piano and she's an alto. She sings. Tragically, she's 85 now, but tragically, one of the things that she says is, Christopher, I can't sing anymore. When I open my mouth and I start to sing, I know it's wrong. I know it's not right. And if she stays quite, if she stays quite low, it's fine. But if she gets a little bit high, and when I mean a little bit high, above A in the middle of the stave, it starts to become a little, well, it's not right. And she knows it's not right. And she's sad about that. And whatever. But Mum plays the piano and Mum sang. And Dad was a clergyman. And so we were, you know, we were in church every Sunday and singing hymns and everything else and sang in the... I can remember being in the kind of church choir. And then one day Dad came home. I have a younger brother, 2 years younger. And Dad came home and said to us, the cathedral choir master stopped me and said, you've got two boys. How do they sing? And Dad said, well, why don't you come and listen to them? So he's coming to audition you for to see if you're okay to be cathedral choristers. So we were so excited. We ran to the piano and we tried to see who could sing the highest note. I'll have been 10 at the time and my brother was 8. And we got higher and higher up the piano because we thought the only way you would get into the cathedral choir is if you could sing the top note on the piano keyboard, which of course is ridiculous. And then I'd been learning piano since 6. We did get into the cathedral choir. I sang as a chorister for many a year. And then I started to play the organ. And one summer, the assistant choir master, who looked after the summer service, I'd like to go on holiday. Would you conduct the services for two of the afternoon evensong services? So there I was, age 16, playing the organ and coming down from the organ loft to conduct the anthem and going back up again. And that was the beginning of it. It's kind of like I was hooked. I thought, I really like this. I mean, I enjoy this. So yes, music was a very big thing. I was going to be an architect and I studied maths and physics and all these sort of things in order to be an architect. But by the time I got to 17, I just realized I couldn't live without music. And so I wanted to go to uni to do music and just see how it went. And that was the kind of beginning of it, really. Yeah. I remember mum saying to me, well, if you want to be a musician, that's fine, but your father and I can't help you. And I remember giggling about that, thinking, well, you know, if I wanted to be an architect, you couldn't help me either. So, I don't entirely know what she meant by that, but that is indeed what she said.
It's so funny because she was obviously very musical, you said, you know, being a singer and playing herself. And so, but, you know, maybe she didn't think of herself as someone who could, knew what the professional life of a musician would be like.
No, and we didn't know any professional musicians. Right. You know, so how do you know whether it's possible to make a living as a musician? And indeed, you know, it wasn't as if I played the violin professionally or I played, trumpet or trombone or I didn't particularly, I suppose I could have been a music teacher and all these sorts of things. But we didn't know many people who had made a career in music. So I suppose ultimately that's kind of what she meant. You know, how can I... We're not really sure how you can make a living. And in a way, I didn't know either. And when I finished my degree, I had what we all now know as a portfolio career, which is, you know, you do 2 days doing this. And I used to play the oboe. I did some oboe teaching. I was a church organist. So that took up a weekly rehearsal and then all day Sunday. And I gave piano lessons and I taught harmony and counterpoint. And then I was invited to work at a university. And so it all began to build up. And then one day, the university director of studies said to me, the university choir needs a conductor. Are you interested? And I said, no, because it was unauditioned. And I thought that was kind of dreadful. And 2 weeks later, he said again, Christopher, they haven't found somebody. You'd do it as well as anybody else. Why don't you give it a go? And I gave it a go. And 3 weeks later, I was utterly, utterly hooked. The big chorus, the big works, Verdi Requiem, Belshazzar's Feast, we did all of these. And alongside that, I wasn't prepared to be a choral conductor that orchestras despised. So I went and I did conducting classes as an orchestral conductor. And one of the orchestra members in Grant Park, after one of my first concerts, said to me as he was walking past, he said, Christopher, for a choral conductor, you're pretty good with the orchestra. Oh. And I thought, there you go.
That's what it takes.
It's lifted up with one bit. you're pretty good with an orchestra for a choral conductor. It's like, okay, marvelous.
Well, this is interesting. I'll take it. Oh, wonderful. I want to kind of talk about this this time at university, because this actually helps lead into the first of three pieces that we're going to talk about today. The first piece that we're going to listen today is actually by Paul Crabtree, who I believe you went to university with, correct?
Yes. So we were at Edinburgh University, not quite together. He was a year ahead of me. And Edinburgh University Music Department is very small. And we had a library, and everybody had a desk in the library. And if I even close my eyes now, I can imagine. So we're talking 40 years ago, my lord. I can imagine 40 years ago where my desk was, where my composer friend's desk was across the room from me. If I look over my left shoulder, I can see where Paul Crabtree's desk was. He used to sit there, and we used to go for lunch together. As a big group, we occasionally met on the weekend and went to the cinema and, you know, blah, 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 and everything else. So I know Paul very well. And when Paul moved to the States, he moved originally to Vermont. And I visited him in Vermont in the fall. And what do I remember? I remember beautiful, cute towns. And I remember the colors of the trees. Unbelievable.
Hmm. So what can you tell us about this piece we're going to listen to called Five Romantic Miniatures from The Simpsons?
All right. Well, Paul loves a contemporary reference, and he loves a popular reference, and he likes to write pieces of music that are perhaps have got texts that they're maybe not expecting. So the miniatures are inspired by that series. Marge and Homer, etc. And I have just loved these for years. He sent them to me. Oh, I don't know. I can't remember when he wrote them. But he sent them, and I was looking for an opportunity to perform them. I have performed them with some choirs in Scotland. I've performed them with the Grant Park Chorus. I've performed them somewhere else. I just can't remember. But I know that Chicago a Cappella has performed them as well. So I'm thrilled. And they're very quirky. They are miniatures. Each movement is jolly short. And you need to know that Homer, I beg your pardon, doesn't really understand love. You'll need to know that he loves a good meal, and that, you know, lots of aspects. If you've watched The Simpsons, you will recognize aspects of the character of the people that are in it, if you like. You'll recognize that in these miniatures.
Wonderful. Let's take a listen. We're going to listen to the first three movements from Five Romantic Miniatures by Paul Crabtree. These are performed by Chicago a Cappella. The first two movements, Abe and Lisa, are from an April 2003 program. And the third movement, Homer, comes from our 20th anniversary concert performed in 2013.
Thank you.
Oh my goodness, such delightful pieces of music.
And it's so perfect. You can hear the audience reaction immediately. Marge.
that was
the best pork chops.
As a performer, I remember singing these with you in the Grant Park Music Festival and having so much fun, you know, working out these juicy, juicy, delicious chords and these fun, crazy harmonies. And then also remembering to be funny in a choral concert for the audience.
Which we're not, let's be honest, we're not usually doing that.
I mean, it's quite hard
to do when, especially, you know, no disrespect, but Grant, the things that Grant Park is famous for, but you've got a big chorus, 60 to sometimes 85. The biggest we have ever had is 110. And you're part of a collective, and being funny as a collective is very, very hard.
It is.
So we had to work at being funny.
I don't think we as a chorus have any problem, you know, knowing that you are a funny person and love humor. And that's always another wonderful thing about working with you in, you know, in the rehearsal room is having a very strong and a fun time, but working on hard music, but being able to have fun while you're doing it for sure.
Yeah. Well, there you are. We do. Yeah. Okay. Hard work and fun. That is the plan.
Exactly. So these are great. I love those Paul Crabtree tunes so much. I wanted to hear a little bit about your work with the National Youth Choir of Scotland. How did you, you know, find your way to that part of your career?
So I am going to answer your question, but I'm approaching it from a byway. I was talking to a younger conductor in his early 30s, and he was asking me, he wanted to know how I'd got, where I'd got, and, you know, what I'd planned and everything else. And I said, you know, to be honest, I really hadn't planned terribly much of it. But if I was suggesting some things for you, I would suggest that you might try and plan a few things, because I really didn't. What happened was I started with the Edinburgh Royal Choral Union, and then the Royal Scottish National Orchestra Chorus, which was the big kind of posh chorus, all volunteer, but attached to the symphony orchestra. So bigger salary, bigger profile concerts or whatever. That job came up and I applied for it. And I got that many, 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 many years ago. And actually, it is many years ago. Oh, my Lord, it's 1989. So that's, what, is it 40 years ago? 30 something, whatever it is, anyway. I started that. And the people that were coming to join the chorus were all in their early 40s. They hadn't sung since they were at school. They hadn't done any singing lessons. They hadn't done any of these things. And so there was a, let's just say there was a procession of slightly tired, rusty voices turning up to audition for the National Symphony Chorus. And I was slightly bewildered. And I remember looking around thinking, why don't we have a national youth choir? Why haven't we got a program where we're really teaching people to really, really sing properly? And then there was a youth festival in the city of Aberdeen, which is in the northeast of Scotland. And they invited me to form a chamber choir, which I did. And for, I don't know, 6 years there, five, 6 years, I ran a 36 voice chamber choir there, which got better and better. And it just, all taken from Scotland, and it just told me, you know, Scotland needs a national youth choir. And so in 1995, I approached a number of people and we set up a working party. This is all a bit tedious, but we set up a working party to talk about it, and everybody was very enthusiastic. And I looked around the table and I looked at all these very fancy people, and I realized that not one of them was actually going to do it. That they were all talking about it, and they all thought it was a great idea, and this one could come up with funding, and this one had an idea for a chairman of the board, and this one was, you know, blah, 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 could offer. But they were looking at me to say, and you're going to do it, aren't you? And I thought, well, I better just do it. I better just get on and do it. And we started it in 1996, and it was kind of fine, but between ourselves, a little ropey. And in 1997, it was a lot better. And by 1998, it was like, oh, let's make a CD. And we recorded some things, which we released on CD. And in 2000, we did some concerts at the Edinburgh Festival with the Scottish Chamber Orchestra, which is, I hired them, and which is a very fine chamber orchestra in the UK. And 2001, we did a tour to Sweden. 2004 was the first time we came to Chicago and sang at Grant Park. 2007, we did a Central European tour. 2010 was in Germany. And then in 2011, somebody invited us to sing at the Edinburgh Festival. And that was the first time we did that. And it was like, oh my goodness. The press said, we came along for the first half of the concert to hear, you know, the Festival Commission and the orchestra play a chamber version of a Mahler symphony and la 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 and these contemporary pieces. But the revelation of the concert was the singing of the National Youth Choir of Scotland. And in 2013, Donald Runicles invited us to do a Mozart Requiem. And in 14, he invited us to do it at the Proms. And in 16, he invited us to Grand Teton. And the rest is history. I mean, it's now a bit like many other choirs across the world. This choir has not sung for a year and a half,
one and a half years.
And we've done online meets. We've had sectional rehearsals online where I, you know, thump away the part and they're busily singing away on Zoom. They could be singing Happy Days Are Here Again for all I know. Who knows what they're singing?
But it just is so fascinating to me, your work with youth. And what are the ages of the choir?
So when we started it, it was a semi-adult choir, 16 to 24. And I know in the US that a youth choir is usually children. But in Scotland, in Europe actually, youth goes up to 26.
Yes.
And so a youth choir in Europe goes up to, well, currently we go up to 25. And I started with a choir of SATB, soprano, alto, tenor, bass. I started with them 16 to 24. It's now 16 to 25. 2 years later, we formed a training choir, 15 to 18. We also formed some regional choirs, aged 8 to 16. In 1998, there were two of them. By 2000, there were six of them. And now in 2021, there are 15 of them.
Wow.
I also formed a national boys choir and a national girls choir. So we honestly have thousands of kids singing under the NYCOS banner. So look that up if you fancy. NYCOS, nycos.co.uk. Just have a look at that website and see the kind of breadth of activity that we're kind of doing. And, you know, it's very stimulating. And can I tell you, the biggest and bestest idea that I had that genuinely, I think, helped me get the job in Grant Park was that I had the idea that while I was taking this rehearsal with young people, I would invite professional singing teachers to also come in the course, and that every single member of that choir would get a singing lesson. And in the evening, when the singing lessons were over, the singing teachers would come to my choir rehearsal and I would get to consult them at the rehearsal if there was a problem or an issue. And they got to say at some point, Christopher, do you mind if I say something to the tenors? Christopher, do you mind if I say something to the sopranos? No, no, that's right. And I learned from these professional singers some of the tricks, some of the thoughts, some of the techniques that you experience when you're working with me at Grant Park. Some of the ways to work as a professional. And I'm not professionally trained. I can sight read anything, but no one wants to hear it. And I have a voice like a cheese grater, but I can sight read anything you want. So if anybody wants to write a piece of music for cheese grater and, you know, I don't know, accordion, we're out there. I've often thought that my biography should be of a lifetime in singing, a voice like crap. Because my life has been dedicated to helping people sing, to encouraging young people to sing. And the young people that I've encouraged to sing have ended up singing for some of the world's greatest conductors. John Elliott Gardner, Donald Runicles, Edward Gardner, These people have requested to sing with Nikos time and time again. John Elliott Gardner took Nikos to Carnegie Hall, and that's the one in New York as opposed to the one in Dunfermline, Scotland. And he took them to the proper Carnegie Hall. So these guys are good. These guys are good. And check out their recordings.
Speaking of the recordings, that brings us to our second piece that we're going to listen to today, which is from the 2020 recording by the National Youth Choir of Scotland called Cantos Sagrados.
Yay!
So this piece is by James McMillan. What can you tell us about this piece and the recording?
So James McMillan, I was also at university with, and I'm sure your listeners are likely to have heard of James McMillan. And if they haven't, just Google him, capital M-A-C, capital M, I-L-L-A-N, James McMillan. It is amazing to think that one of the world's leading contemporary composers lives about, 15 miles from me here in Scotland, and that I went to university with him. And when I phone him up, I'll say, hello, Jimmy, and he'll say, hello, Chris, which I hate being called, but never mind. but I was called Chris at university. And Jimmy is kind of outstanding. 1990, he had a piece played at the London Proms, which catapulted him onto the world stage. He's written concertos for some of the world's leading performers, multiple symphonies, masses, passions, just amazing. And he's written some quite extraordinary choral music. And I know, Emily, you've sung some with me at Grant Park. And
yes.
You've maybe sung some somewhere else. Jimmy grew up in a working class mining community in Scotland. This particular piece of music has a reference to South American poetry, to the mothers of the disappeared in Argentina. And by the time the bit of music we're about to listen to is the third movement of Cantos Sagrados, and it's called Sunstone. And basically the text is saying, they put the prisoner against the wall. They put the prisoner against the wall. A soldier ties his hands. And it turns out that the soldier knows the prisoner. And the prisoner knows the soldier. And at the point when just before the soldier is about to shoot the prisoner, because he must shoot the prisoner, he leans in and whispers into his ear, "Forgive me, compañero." And honestly, when I recorded this with the Royal Scottish National Orchestra, and they'd never heard the piece before, or many of the players hadn't heard it before, we got to the end of the first take, and it got to the end, "Forgive me, compañero," which is a whisper. And I looked up and I caught the eye of a viola player, and she had tears in her eyes. And I said, "Oh," and she said, "Christopher, what are you doing to me?" And I said, "I'm doing nothing." I said, "This is James McMillan and this is Cantos Sagrados." So listen in, and I'd love to say enjoy, but it's not a piece you enjoy. It's a piece you experience. It's a piece that lifts you to a different place. And Sunstone, James McMillan, Cantos Sagrados.
That was the National Youth Choir of Scotland performing with the Royal National Scottish Orchestra under the direction of Christopher Bell. Wow, Christopher, what an unbelievable piece of music.
Now, it's interesting, you chose the third movement, which is much more spacious and kind of, the first movement is very aggressive and kind of energetic and everything else. You could have chosen that one, mm-hmm. but you chose that last movement, so that speaks to you as well.
Mm. I mean, I think that, you know, when you explained that, you know, the background of James McMillan, and, you know, that he was writing about an area of the, you know, of the world completely different from him, but he felt the same power and pain. Concerned with the political repression, and like you said, the mothers losing their children, those sorts of things are really universal. And, you know, with a composer like him, he really saw the heart and the soul of the piece in all three movements.
Sure.
Yeah.
Oh, totally. Totally. So, and of course, the listeners listening to that will be able to say, yes, you're right, that is not a youth choir as we would describe it in the US. So that's a great choir. It just happens to be young.
Exactly. Because you couldn't have, you know, I was in children's choir growing up, and we could only do SSA things and a lot of, you know, ceremony of carols and things of that sort. But, you know, to be able to have, as you put it, youth, you know, where you have, you know, some developed maturing voices, to have a full choir and do, you know, do the full range. It's, and of course, you know, as you explained, the breadth of music that you are doing with these young people is extremely complicated and intense and really, really challenging things.
Yeah. On the other hand, for the press thing on Monday morning, when we've got two of the, I mean, they might not turn up, you know, when you do a press junket at 5:30 in the morning, and all these guys promise to turn up. We've got Reuters coming and Associated Press and the BBC local programs and national programs, radio and television. They're all saying they'll come. Now, all it needs is a world event. You know, let's not discuss what it could be, but all it needs is a world event and no one will come to see us. But the only reason the mainstream BBC program will turn up on Monday morning is if we sing, wait for it, You Raise Me Up.
Oh.
Which is, yeah, now. And yeah. You'll say, really?
Well.
And you'll say, really? And I'll go, do you know something? It is, you know, it's not what we do as mainstream, but it's an amazing piece of music.
Yeah.
And I will give that my 150%. Like, I hope people realize that when I'm committed to a project, I give 150% to everything I'm doing.
You do. Absolutely. That's going to be very exciting. Either, you know, always, it's always very exciting. Okay, so.
In the cold, in the rain.
Yes. Scotland. So I have a little bit of a surprise for you. I've picked something that I would like to share with you. And I'm going to play a little bit of it, and I'm going to see if you know what it is, okay?
Okay.
Here we go.
Oops. Diddly-dum, diddly-dum, diddly-dum.
Do you have any idea what this song is at all? You might actually be someone who would recognize.
So the audio is cutting out, but it sounds like an Irish tune. I think I've heard it recently, so I'm going to say I think it's the Irish Chamber Choir or Chamber Choir Ireland, is it?
Well, it's actually Chicago A Cappella, because we're on the Chicago A Cappella podcast, but the piece is called El Hombo, and it's the theme music for our surprise guest segment. And believe it or not, there is someone who knows you who has agreed to join us for a few minutes, and they are here with us right now. Listening in, and I'm going to surprise you and give you three clues to help you figure out who it is. Are you ready?
Okay.
Okay, so I'm going to give you three clues. This person answers to the question, Manhattan or Margarita, and their answer is always yes. This person's favorite sport is tennis. and this person enjoys rearranging artificial plants and trees. Do you have any clue who this person might be?
Margarita in Manhattan. Artificial plants and trees.
And they like to play tennis.
I know. I think it's Ryan Cox.
Who's there?
Hello, Christopher. This is Ryan Cox.
Woo! Well, I am thrilled. Well done. I'm thrilled I got it right. So, can I say, I have no idea about the artificial plants. Margarita or Manhattan is a possibility, but the minute you mentioned tennis, I don't know whether you remember, but you gave me a tennis bag once, which I used for years to carry stuff from Scotland back to Chicago and Chicago to Scotland, a big Wilson tennis bag. So that was my, oh my God, let me guess, Wilson tennis bag. Ryan Cox.
Welcome, Ryan Cox, baritone.
Thank you very much for having me.
Let me tell you guys a little bit about Ryan. He is, he's been a professional member of the Chicago Symphony Chorus and Grant Park Chorus since 2003. And he's been a singer with Chicago a cappella since 2016. He's an accomplished soloist in both oratorio and operatic roles. And here's my favorite piece of information. As a boy soprano, Ryan was the soloist in Bernstein's Chichester Psalms with the CSO under Michael Tilson Thomas. He's a graduate of Millikan University, and he serves now as the music director of First Congregational Church in LaGrange, Illinois. Ryan, thank you so much for giving us this surprise for Christopher. Welcome.
Thank you for inviting me.
How are you doing, Ryan?
Very well, thank you. And the artificial plants, you may recall in your early years in Grant Park corporate flats, there may have been a few trees and plants that were in the apartment that would find new homes elsewhere in said apartment while you were indisposed.
Okay, so the truth of that story is that when I went into corporate hired apartments by, they were hired by Grant Park, they always had like a plastic ficus and a plastic plastic grass and a plastic ivy plant, and they were all over the place. Ryan used to be part of a team of people who, when I wasn't looking, used to pick these up and put them into cupboards or take them into the bathroom, so that when into the bathroom there was a ficus in the bath, or, you know, blah blah blah. So anyway, yes, I was thinking you were rearranging artificial plants in your own house, but no, I do remember that apartments. Apartments across Chicago.
So, Ryan, you started in the Grant Park Chorus in 2003, so just 1 year after Christopher joined, correct?
So, actually, 2004.
Oh, 2004.
My apologies if there was an error. Yes, CSO was 03, and then the following summer in 04 is when I started with Christopher. So I do recall that first visit by NICOS.
Mm. Yeah, that's amazing. And, you know, we've been talking about young singers. What was the, I can't even imagine as you speak to us right now, you as a boy soprano.
Believe it, it did happen, but there was a cliff at about 12 where I spent a little bit of time as an alto, and then it descended from there.
And it's really wonderful that we have you here with us, because the piece we're going to play as our last piece happens to be William Schumann's A Free Song from the Grant Park Music Festival, which you happen to have been the soloist on. And Christopher, what can you tell us about this piece and why you wanted to share this one?
Well, so the Grant Park Chorus has made two CDs. One is called a Pulitzer Project, and the other is called Songs of Smaller Creatures. Songs of Smaller Creatures is an a cappella program, but the Pulitzer Project involves the chorus and the orchestra. And we were looking for ideas, and I was kind of interneting about, and we discovered that there were some pieces of music, including this piece by William Schumann, that had never been recorded, that won a Pulitzer Prize in the 1940s. And we were very keen to record it. And it's very stirring in an American patriotic sort of way. It was a great thrill. I can visualize the recording sessions in the Harris Theatre. We had two concerts. The concerts were taken live. And I think Ryan will correct me if I'm wrong, but I think we auditioned a couple of people in order to sing this solo. And the solo lies very high. And because of that, you need somebody who's very secure on high baritone notes. And when it came to the audition, Ryan secured the job.
Yes, he's a spectacular.
That is all accurate.
Yes.
Thank you very much, Christopher.
Ryan, what do you recall from the experience of singing this piece?
Definitely a white knuckle kind of experience, because, you know, you're going along in a concert and then all of a sudden the orchestra gets really, really quiet and you have to come in kind of out of nowhere and you have 13 measures to do your best. So it was very fun, but also a bit nerve-wracking.
Yeah.
That first time out, I'll be honest.
Yeah, I can imagine it's in such a big venue as well as, was it inside the Harris, you said, as well as outdoors?
It didn't happen outdoors, just in the Harris, because we can't, as all y'all well know, you can't record anything terribly much on the stage of the Pritzker because of helicopters, ambulances, police sirens, and the rest. So anything with the Grant Park Music Festival has issued, either orchestrally or with the chorus, has been recorded indoors.
Of course, wonderful. So we're actually going to hear from the second, from part two of the Schumann's A Free Song. Unfortunately, we don't get to hear Ryan's beautiful solo. For those of you, you need to go and find the Pulitzer Project's album by the Grant Park Music Festival and listen to part one to get the beautiful baritone solo for Ryan. The second part is called Song of the Banner. Christopher, what can you tell us about this second part?
My recollection of it is the wonderful build-up to an absolutely triumphant, exultant ending. I can remember the sheer exhilaration of listening to it. The second movement starts with a very, very, very difficult orchestral fugue. And I do remember that in the patch sessions, we needed to spend a little more time getting that bit right rather than getting the chorus bit right, which made me feel very proud of the Grant Park chorus.
So we're going to listen now to William Schumann's A Free Song, Secular Cantata Number 2, Part 2. This is entitled Song of the Banner. Thank you. was the Grand Park Music Festival chorus and orchestra singing William Sherman's A Free Song. That is from the album Pulitzer Projects, which was released in 2011. Christopher, you know, it's such an intense experience and such a wonderful experience as a singer in the chorus. I'm sure Ryan also feels the same way. Every summer we show up for 2-3 months and just, you know, dive in to these extremely interesting pieces of music that we oftentimes don't get to do other places. And it's such a fulfilling experience. And I just, you know, you're approaching your 20th season as the chorus director of the Grant Park Chorus. How do you feel?
Chicago in the summer has been so much part of my life, obviously for 22, if you count the 2 years that I did my audition. One of the great things, there are many great things about Chicago in the summer, and, you know, not getting there last year, and all fingers crossed and hoping to get there this year. I'm very much planning not to take any of them for granted ever again. You know, the wonderful cohort of singers who turn up and sight read their way through piles and piles of music they've never seen before, and do it with relish and joy. The wonderful beachfront atmosphere, the fabulous restaurants, the weather that's maybe occasionally too hot, but I'm not even going to complain about the too hot weather anymore. It's like Chicago in the summer has been such an important part of my life, and every finger and every toe is crossed that I'm going to get there this particular summer, and that we're all going to meet under somewhat bizarre circumstances, distanced at the minute. This is being recorded on the 15th of May. At the minute, we're going to be masked. But I noticed that the president has announced that we're not going to be masked in the US in the future. So maybe by the time we get to July the 1st, who knows? But honestly, Emily, I can't wait to see you. Ryan, I can't wait to see you. My heart yearns to make real music with real people face to face. And if Chicago is my first, I will be so, so happy.
Yeah, I think, I mean, Ryan, I'm sure you feel the same way, yes?
Absolutely.
I think we've all this year experienced what it's like to record in a void and try and, you know, make music that's meant to be performed with a lot of people together and try and, you know, cobblestone these together. And Chicago Acapella's done it. And, you know, it's amazing what can be done through the interwebs these days. But I think the one thing that every time I talk to any of my friends, my other singers, it's that nothing compares to standing together and singing music live.
Well, you've hit it on the head. Yay!
So I want to just thank you both so much for taking the time to, you know, hang out together and have a little chat and spend some time talking about music today. I'd like to let our listeners know that if you'd like to learn more about the upcoming concerts of Christopher Bell and the 2021 Grant Park Music Festival Chorus, head over to www.grantparkmusicfestival.com. The season is set to begin in July. And Christopher, tell us again if people want to find out about the National Youth Choir of Scotland, where they can go.
So nicos.co.uk, nycos.co.uk. You can look up Nicos Recordings on Spotify.
Wonderful.
Thank you. Thank you. Honestly, guys, thank you so much for inviting me to be part of this. It's been so exciting. My blood pressure is up. My energy levels are up. I'm thrilled that the clues meant that I actually guessed Ryan and didn't mess that up. Emily, it's wonderful to hear you present. You present so well. And you guys, I can't wait to see all y'all in the summer.
We can't wait to see you too. Thank you so much for doing this with us. This has been so fun. Thanks, Ryan. Thanks, Christopher.
Thank you so much.